Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Swing and a line drive fair into the left field corner. That'll tie the game. Hernandez around first, heading to second. He's the winning run in scoring position with nobody out in the 10th. Swing and a base hit into right field. Kike Hernandez coming home. Bay's desperate throw is late, and the Dodgers decimate the Pirates with a series sweep. Another one-run loss for the Pirates.
Any more of that to just pierce our hearts even further? Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers.
No, we have unlimited clips of heartbreaking fashion for the Buccos.
I bet we do. I mean, listen, you know, trying to decide what to come up with this morning, like what's the bigger story? The Steelers are always the bigger story, but it feels to me like before we really say hello to the Steelers, Paul Zeiss and Bob Pompiani, it's time to say goodbye to the Pirates. I never expected this. I never expected to say goodbye so soon. But there they go. Bye, Pirates. Bye.
Wait a minute. You're not on camera yet. Move over. Stage left. There you go.
See you next year. Bye. They've lost 7 in a row. They're 1-9 in their last 10. 3 teams in the National League have more losses than the Pirates. That's it. Only 3 have more losses than the Pirates. They have 6 teams to overcome for the third wild card and 5 games. They're done. The season's base, unless they rip off like 8 in a row, which they're not going to do, the season's done. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's what a 7-game losing streak and going 1-9 in your last 10 with guys that you're depending on to hold leads just simply can't hold them anymore. Goodbye. It's goodbye, Pirates, and I feel like that's the place to start. I feel like that's where most of the fan emotion is right now. It's going to ramp up for the Steelers in an awful hurry. But, Paul, am I on or off here? They're done.
You know, it's one of those things where it all happened in a flash.
They were gone so fast.
I mean, we were talking about basically, you know, like, wow, this team is, you know, 3 or 4 games over. They have, you know, they've made some really good decisions in terms of what they did at the trade deadline. Everyone was excited. They had, what, 6 or 9 games at home or whatever it was.
I mean, all against the teams you're trailing. It's about the teams you can try to catch.
Or that can go ahead of you by even more.
But that's the opportunity you want. It's a logjam, and you had a chance to dig into it.
And seemingly, we all kind of fell, you know, laid down on the couch and took a nap watching the Olympics, closed their eyes and woke up, and here we are today.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
And we're giving them their, you know, and basically it's the, you know, the sort of the this is it. The season lasted into August, which I guess
it's better than
it's
most.
It's better than what it has.
But don't let them, by the way, if they're never in it again, don't let them tell anybody that they were a contender this season. If you're not in it going into September, at the very least, you were not a contender. If this is how it ends for the Pirates, they don't get to claim that they were a contender. They don't get to claim that they were fighting for a playoff spot. There's a ton of baseball left here. Mm-hmm. By the time they're done, the Steelers will have played three games and the Pirates will still have more games left. So don't let anybody tell, let them tell you that they contended this season.
But here's the sad part of it. If you look at, like you said at the beginning, only three teams have more losses, which tells you there are a bunch of, like, look at the standings. These are all average baseball teams, Paul and Joe. They are. In that third wild card, they're all right around 500, one or two above 500, and the Pirates were once in that conversation. A seven-game losing streak will kill you and dump you into the last place in their division, which is where they reside right now.
This sucks, Bob.
Well, that's where we're at. That's the biggest thing is, like,
I don't like where we're at right now. I don't like where we're at.
No, I thought at least it would carry into September with some meaningful baseball because all the games in September are against teams in your division.
It's not even going to carry through mid-August. I mean, the game tonight, does it really matter? I don't know. Maybe, I guess, if they start ripping off some wins.
Well, I mean, these three here are basically, I want to say, like, these three maybe are the end.
I feel like the end is it nigh or nay, Bob?
It's
the end is nigh. Is nigh a word? The end is near?
I thought it was, yeah,
I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with them. I think I would move on from everybody. De La Cruz, Sawinski, Davis, Taylor, Hayes, Tellez, Grandal, Bednar, Holderman. Cruz should move positions. I wouldn't blame if they got rid of the GM and the manager. Just the whole team.
Yeah, but here we go.
Can you trade
what are you
going to
do if you do that? You're admitting here, and they'll fall into how many five-year plans have there been? This is the fifth year. This is the fifth year where you start seeing results, supposedly. And there are no results to be seen. So,
all right, well, let's start there. Should Cherington or I'm not going to even say that we're not going to beat around the bush today, Paul.
Right.
Not that we do usually. And Bob, we're going to ask direct questions. You want to join this, by the way? It's Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. 412-928-9370. And the six-pack of problems, and it's probably going to wind up being more like a 12-pack or a case, brought to you by Bet365. If this is the way of it and they finish with a losing record and obviously out of the playoffs, should Derek Shelton and or Ben Cherington be fired?
That's a really difficult question for me. I think the case clearly can be made that Ben Cherington should at least, at the very least, be on the extremely hot seat, right? That should definitely be something that's in play. You know, with Derek Shelton, it's so hard because he's had 4 years with not a whole lot to work with.
Exactly.
And this year, some of his best players didn't really play very well or perform very well. You know what I mean?
So I'm hearing a no from you on both counts. I mean, they shouldn't be fired.
Ben Cherington, I think probably I would.
You would?
I would at the end. If this thing falls completely apart, I probably would say, okay, it's time to go a new, you know. But the problem with that is now you're going a completely new direction. You bring in another guy. Is he going to want to strip it down again? Is it, you know what I mean? Like, you have to bring back – here's the thing. If you're going to fire Ben Cherington, you have to hire somebody who is an experienced general manager that can look at the entire system, look at everything that's going on, and say, okay, here's our strengths. We think we can be good if we just build on these things quickly. If you bring in another one of these young whiz kid guys –
No. If you're nutting, you can't bring in some. It's up to him, not the GM.
It is.
And it's not time to strip it down again. It's time to build on this and get in.
My point is, you bring in these young guys, that's what they want to do because they are all smarter than everybody. They want to reinvent the wheel. My point is, if ever it seems like there is a place where you probably need to hire an older guy, a veteran guy, somebody who has done it. It probably would be in the, that's who, if you're going to tell me that they go out, and I don't even know.
Don't you think they thought that about Charrington? I mean, he won a World Series. He's done it. He's supposed to be the guy now to get him over the top.
He did, but my point is, I think that you need to find that guy who's got a lot of experience, who understands if you're nutting, you say to him, listen, I need someone that's going to look at this team and this organization and say, okay, here's where we're good. Now here's where we need to build on some things.
I know, but what if that guy says back to Charrington, here's what you need to build on, Bob, and I need some money to go buy some players because this last regime with Ben Charrington did not do what it was supposed to do as far as developing hitters in particular. You're screwed, Bob Nutting, because you don't have enough lineup type players and enough middle of the order type hitters to survive. You're not going to survive. I don't care what your rotation is like. But what I hear from Paul there is don't fire Charrington, but put him on a hot seat, and don't fire Shelton yet. You agree? This offseason?
I think if they're still here, the seat should be blazing hot. And here, this is the one reason I will say that keeping them another year is probably going to be the likely outcome. Number one.
But would it be your choice to do that?
Well, my choice would be, first of all, everything is tied to ownership. And I know you don't want to get into that, but I even think the trade deadline. Well, you said you'd take, this was last night's conversation, take Bob Nutting away from this about the fault of this team. Bob Nutting ultimately controls how they do business, which is to say that they don't want to spend money. This offseason is a great example. Instead of spending one or two guys at $20 million a year to improve your team, he sprinkled about six or seven $2 to $4 million a year players, whatever the case may be. You're not going to solve anything with that. You end up with just average or below average players. So the purse strings are tight. When it came to the trade deadline, they could have gone in big if they wanted to. They went in at the trade deadline, and they now are in last place, which tells you that they did not accomplish what they wanted to do, which means they went bargain basement hunting with guys like Brian De La Cruz. He can hit for power, but he strikes out far, far, far too many times. He never puts the ball in play. So my point is, if you're whoever comes in here has to understand that. If you're willing to do it and take the money to be the general manager, knowing those constraints, okay, good. I would say this. His starting staff next year should be really good. Everything we've seen indicates that if you add Chandler to this mix. That puts the pressure this offseason on Ben Charrington. What do you do to bring in hitters? Because you have none on your system.
He needs money.
Okay.
All right. We're beating around the bush.
I'm saying hot
seat. Which is what I didn't want to do.
Well, no. We're not beating around the bush.
Yes, we are. It's a yes or no question.
I said I would fire Charrington.
Fire Charrington. Keep Shelton. You?
I'm going to say hot seat both.
I would say
hot seat. So don't fire either.
Because I don't know. Where are you going to go next?
Okay. That's all I need for now.
Because if you do that now, wait a minute. If you do that now, you're going to end up with another 5 years of whomever comes in.
We'll come back to that. Hold on.
Hold up. I would say fire Charrington.
Yes.
Hire a new general manager and let him have the choice if he wants to work with Shelton for another year.
Okay.
But the new general manager is going to say to you, Paul, okay, how much do I have to work with here financially?
I would say
it doesn't matter. You have one of 30 jobs. You're going to be able to hire
The reason you're going to get it, fine. But I'm saying if I'm the guy who's ultimately going to be judged by what I do record-wise, I need to know that in writing, tell me what I can spend. I want to legitimately know what I can spend.
Don't you already know you're going to be down among the Rays and A's? Here's
all right, then who do you attract then?
Really? I say don't fire either of them. I say both go into next
season.
That's
what I said.
Yeah, I agree with you. Both go into next season on a blazing hot seat. And I say that this year's Pirates, when I list the culprits, it's players why the season fell apart. It's players first and everybody else second. Players first and everybody else second. David Bednar is an all-star closer. He's now, yesterday, I would, technically it wasn't a blown save, but it was, which makes him now, he's blown twice as many. Six. You know what, you want to chalk it up as a loss? That's fine too. He's been awful. He blew three saves all of last season, and he's done it in rapid fire order. Three in the first four tries this year, and now three games in a row where he squandered a lead. Colin Holderman, who had an all-star resume, has been god-awful. And then the three guys who undid their lineup are three guys that every single one of us had pegged batting in their top five this year. And that was Ke Bryan Hayes, Jack Sawinski, and Henry Davis. They undid the season
for them. They did.
So I'm putting it on players first, which is not the same as saying Shelton's not culpable, Charrington's not culpable, and of course, Bob Nutting is always culpable. All those guys are. But at some point, you put players on the field that you expect to perform, and they're peeing all over themselves.
But that brings up the question then, is it them or is the instruction they're getting as a combination of both? Why would, you know, I watched some of these guys go to AAA and rake down there. They come up here and it doesn't work. Is it just they're overmatched? Are they overhyped as prospects? What are they? And why can't Jack Sawinski, and it's in his case, it's gotten worse in AAA. He can't.
I think he's done in the major leagues, actually. Who? Sawinski.
Yeah.
He's just crumbled. But what does all that have to do with David Bednar?
Nothing. No, from that point of view, those guys are experienced, absolutely.
And if just Bednar had done his job, right, we're having an entirely different conversation today.
Bednar is missing locations. He has pitched, all his pitches are high. Last night, 0-2 to Teoscar Hernandez was right down the middle of the plate, high in the strike zone, and you make it easy on a team.
Give up 0-2 critical hits. How many times this year are they going to do that?
Right, I get that. I get it all. I get it all. But again, who ultimately is responsible for putting this team together? And do you want to give him another year, another offseason, another trade deadline, seeing as what he's done? I mean, if you take Aroldis Chapman out of the equation, I'm not sure there's a whole lot to get excited about. You want to give him credit for drafting Skeens? Okay, fine.
Joey Bart, I give him credit for.
And Bart.
Then it gets tough. It does.
I mean,
Bailey Falter was a good acquisition, I think.
He's fallen way short on the offensive side. If you want to give him credit for Skeens, fine. But you have to basically then say, well, hopefully he's at the top of the draft next year and there's another couple can't miss people.
Listen,
to choose from.
Would I rip Bob Nutting if he fired Ben Charrington? I don't think I would if he cleaned house after the season. I wouldn't necessarily endorse it in advance of it happening, but it would be hard to rip him for it. I'll tell you that much. And this is just, but
having said that, it's still for me
players number one.
But wait, there's a caveat should be, we're talking so people understand. We're talking if this continues and the bottom completely falls out.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If they finish with 78, 79 wins, something like that, where there's a little improvement over last year, then I would say no. Then you go
Wait a second. I phrased the question. If they finish with a losing record and out of the playoffs.
So
you'd need to see them go down to like 70?
I misunderstood it. Well, again, they've lost 8 in a row. Do you remember 2011 or 12?
Both, yeah.
Where they had a winning record on August 1st, and by the end of the season, we're literally like 20 games under 500. That's what I'm talking about. I thought that's what we were talking about. But if they're 79 and 83, yeah, I absolutely give them another year.
All right.
I do. My point is, if the bottom...
But how does that change your opinion on Charrington not getting
it
done?
Because if they're 79 wins... You say, okay, well, listen, you got close this year. Next year, there's no excuses. I don't want to hear any reasons why that this can't happen. I don't want to hear about how, you know, this player didn't do what he was supposed. You better figure it out. But if they're at 70 or 69, even, God forbid, 69, 70 wins, what exactly are you signing up for again? That was what I was saying. That's what I thought the question was. I thought it was, if this continues and the bottom completely falls out.
I mean, you could argue if they finish with 79 wins that the bottom did fall out. It did. We're watching it. It's falling out. If they just stabilize now and finish 3 or 4 games below 500, I still would have said that they bottomed out here. That they fell apart and collapsed.
Well,
right. If they go 500 the rest of the year and finish with, you know, 79 and 83. Are they 4 under right now?
Five.
Okay, 78 and 8. I don't know what the hell it would be. If they go 500 the rest of the year and finish 5 games under, to me, they fell apart.
Right. Well, if they go 78, if they finish with 78 wins, it will have mean that from this point on, they had a winning record by one game.
Yeah, but the bottom line is 5 years No winning records, nothing
right,
to show
for 5 years.
Right,
but my point is the bottom falling out, if they stabilize it and they're able to, you know, salvage the next 50 games or whatever, or the 40 games or whatever they have to play, I have a hard time, because that tells me, okay, I mean, in 11 and 12, the bottom completely fell out. They were awful for the rest of the season in those 2 years.
So what's the number? What would be the definition of that for you?
Probably 75? 78.
Okay, so it's a matter of one win either way is your opinion on Charrington?
No, I'm saying 78 would be that they definitely are coming back. 76, 77, I probably could be persuaded that they get one more time. If it's 75 or less, though, that would, to me, that would mean, because that means they're like 2 or 3 games under 500 from now on. That's horrible, too.
Yes or no, the Pirates will have a winning record again at some point this season. Paul?
No.
Next question. As we sink into the bowels of depression here, if that's the right word. By the way, there's worms in the sink out there. Did you guys hear about this?
What?
Yeah. Somebody came up and told me our sink outside. There's worms in it.
Yeah, what made you think of that in the middle
of this
depression conversation?
Just that. That's the nature of the conversation.
The middle sink in the bathroom.
The middle sink in the bathroom has what kind of worms? Like little tiny ones or?
Yeah, I mean, they're not gigantic.
Did you see them?
I did, yeah.
Did you discover them?
I think maybe Callis might have discovered them.
Oh, my God. I'm never, ever, ever going in there again. Never, never am I going in there again. Bob, are you?
I don't like anything that moves, so no.
Paul, you going in there anytime soon?
I mean,
because the only thing I think about is if they're in the sink.
They're in the toilet.
Exactly.
And if you're sitting down on that toilet.
Exactly. That's why even at home I do a scouting flush, Bob. Before I sit down, I flush to make sure everything's okay.
I
know I waste a lot of water that way. I look, I flush, and then I go.
We'll get a snake in there next time.
Exactly. If worms can get in the water system, then a snake or a gerbil or a squirrel can get in there and pop up when you're sitting there, Paul.
That's really disgusting.
Bob, do you agree?
I don't know about a squirrel. But
why? If the worm got in
how's
there?
How's a squirrel going to go through
He jumps into the pipe.
Well, how's a squirrel, how's it going to get in here?
They can wiggle their way into situations. I've seen it.
But how did the worms get in there?
That's the question.
Was there like somebody fishing and they threw them? You know,
how did the worms get in there, Sean?
We haven't diagnosed that
yet. If you imagined it, how did they get in there?
I would say someone had to bring them in there, right?
No way. No, it was organic. Something happened.
Maybe there was some, I don't know, crumbs or something in the sink that attracted them. Is that possible?
No. Where would they come from? They came down through the pipes with the lead worm, led them down from out there, from the world, the environment. He led them down there, and they all followed him in, and they went wherever they wanted to go.
But I'm saying, was there something that maybe a scent that attracted them to that
maybe.
Sink?
Maybe. Could have been crumbs, yeah. Paul, your thoughts on the whole thing?
It's just awful.
Bob, I'm not going in there, I don't think, ever again.
How are you assured that any other place in here? There are multiple
and if I
floors.
Go in, if
go
I go
the first
into,
floor and try.
If I go into the stalls, for that reason, I'm doing the standing squat method. My butt will never touch a seat here again. Do you agree with that, Paul?
I don't think you'd be able to last. How long do those normally take for you? Because if you're squatting, you better be able to have very strong thighs and everything else to make that possible. Plus, you splatter. You have no respect for the next person coming in.
No. Everything's good. It's a standing squat method.
How about go to the bathroom downstairs?
That might be an option, except aren't those the same pipes?
Yeah, they're connected.
And in fact, downstairs.
There could be a relationship going on with some of these other ones.
You'd think downstairs, especially for a worm, would have been their first breach of entry, right? Bob?
This has gone way too far.
No, there's worms in the sink. Sounds like the snakes on a plane. I'm not doing this ever again, Bob. You?
I mean, yes, you have to. You'll forget about it tomorrow.
Oh,
and then you'll be reminded.
You don't know me very well.
Twitter. I do know you. You have disinfecting wipes right next to you at all times.
Yes, I do.
I know you.
Because I think Crowley gave me a sickness a couple weeks ago. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's all in keeping with the state of the Pirates. And here's my next question, Paul. You ready for this one? And I also don't think they're going to have a winning record at any point the rest of this season. How long for Paul Skeens in terms of shutdown? 155 innings last year between
college.
Pro ball and college. He's at 120 this year. That leaves him 35 innings. That's five starts of about seven innings. His last three starts, 17 innings, 16 hits, eight runs, and he never hits 100 miles an hour
anymore.
Velocity
is clearly down.
Clearly. This is not, and he's still great. Don't get me wrong. This is asked in the context of will they shut him down, but this is not the guy who stepped to the mound and blew away Mookie Betts and Ohtani on 101-mile-an-hour heaters. He doesn't even hit 100 anymore. He's still pitching really well. Last two starts, rough. I get it. My question is, would you shut him down, and will they shut him down in September? Would you, and will they?
No, and no. I don't think they will. I think they'll spread him out. But what I think is happening is other teams are starting to figure out, they may not solve him, but they know how to keep bats alive, work counts better. That's the one thing I've seen over the last three starts. His pitch count is elevated because they're making him work harder to get through, you know, every inning. So if that's your goal as an opposing manager, tell your team, you got to work the guy. Foul pitches off, don't worry about it. Just get him, you know, at a 96 total in the fifth inning. And that's what we've been seeing. So he hasn't lasted as long.
Paul?
But I know I would not shut
Bob
him down.
Bob has a lot of faith in the Pirates. I don't, and you know what? I would agree with them. If they're 7-8 games with seven teams in front of them in September, I would absolutely shut him down, and I think they will too.
But doesn't he have to learn how to deal with these situations too? How do you do it without doing it?
I think you just say you've had a great season, you're above your inning count, that's it.
How about if that affects his rookie of the year? Not that he cares about it, but maybe some people do. Maybe people bet on it.
If he doesn't finish top two in rookie of the year, I think there's a financial ramification to that. He doesn't get a year of accrued service.
Tell you what, this Jackson Merrill.
Or no, he does. He still would.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill is unbelievable. He's 21 years old.
Is there a super two component of that, Bob?
I think there is, but I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. That doesn't affect service time.
No, you're right.
I think
it's not
he
service
gets
time.
The service time only if he's a top two finisher in rookie of the year.
He would be that at this point.
So Skeens, 92 innings. How many do you want to see him go?
No, he's 120 innings.
You got to include his Indy innings.
Yeah,
so he's at 120.
Okay,
that's why I wouldn't shut him down. He's at he's 35 fewer than he had last year. Let's go. You got to do it somewhere.
He still has three starts till September gets here. Then.
Right, and. That's okay. You can move him around 6 days.
What would you do, Paul?
So do you want to get him to 150 innings?
Yeah.
I think beyond.
Yeah, I mean, my point is, how do you build a guy's arm if you don't, you know what I mean? If he doesn't have an arm injury, why? I don't understand why you need to shut him down.
Because he'd be right around his innings limit or his innings, you know, career high, and he appears to be fatiguing to me. It's simply not the same guy that stepped to the mound against the Dodgers that night. It's not.
But I don't think you can expect that every time out. Even the best pitchers in the game are not going to pitch to that level
every single time out. Reached 100 in like three of his last four starts, I believe. I mean, it's noticeable. And I'm not saying he still can't be incredibly effective and even really good to great. I just see that as a sign of fatigue. And, I'd like him to work through some of it in August. But when September gets here, what's the point? Preserve it. Preserve those innings for next year. What do you think the Pirates will do, Paul, even if you disagree? Do you think they will shut him down?
I don't know that they'll shut him down, but they're going to play a lot of games to make sure he doesn't have to pitch a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean,
you don't have to shut him down. What you can do is, you know, just say five innings. You know,
you could do that.
Pitch count kind of crap.
Yeah. For sure you could do that.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, that's what I mean. They're going to play that game.
Right. 412-928-9370. All of that on the table. This has been horrific. They've fallen apart. It's almost unbelievable. I didn't think they had a winning streak in them necessarily. But I didn't think with their pitching that they were going to fall apart.
They
like
also
this.
Have suffered an amazing, and maybe this explains what they're really crazy losses late in games. They've been in a lot of games where you thought they're going to clamp it down and win it.
Yeah.
And then they all just implode in those innings late in the games. And again, it goes back to Bednar and Holderman specifically, those guys.
Where do you place the blame at 412-928-9370? Shelton, Charrington, should they be in trouble if this continues, if they're out of the playoffs, they have a losing record? And what about Skeens? Any and all of that coming up here and we'll get to the Steelers. We certainly will. There's a lot to talk about there with developments in the AFC North and developments with the Steelers themselves. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a... What about the water? Is the water drinkable, or will there be worms in that bottle? I was just going to get a glass of water, and now I don't know what to, I don't know what to do about it.
How about if you don't see a worm, but the worm has done something there and left the vicinity, and now you won't know. You're going to drink worm juice.
I'm done.
Joe.
Sean, what would you do?
You would never last on Survivor, would you? What would you be like on an edition of Survivor? Like, do you see Joe Starkey in the woods?
Well, wait a second.
You see him in the woods, and
Paul,
he has to survive on something.
Where do you fall on all this? Worms in the water.
I don't even really want to think about it.
When you go in the bathroom.
Well, my point is, if you go into the bathroom, first of all, has it been addressed?
Sean?
There's been a lot of talk about it. I don't know if anyone's done anything yet. Maybe we're looking for like a flamethrower or something at this point to address it.
I may drive home if the need arises, Bob. I only live 5 minutes away. By the way, if I'm in an Uber, Paul, here's a question for you, former cab driver. I was in an Uber and the Uber app screwed up today. Mm-hmm. I dropped my car off in the North Hills. That's why I called you this morning. I wanted to see if you could give me a ride to work, but you weren't available yet, which is understandable. So I called an Uber and I pressed the address of this place and instead it got my home address. So the woman took me to my house. If in the middle of a ride you say, wait a sec, we're going to the wrong place, can you ask the Uber driver to switch, or are they not allowed to, Bob?
Well,
Paul.
Yeah. Yes. You tell them, listen, we're not going to my house. We're going to my work. And if they're a good Uber driver, they'll say fine, because the bottom line is the app doesn't change. So you get charged when you turn the meter, you know, when you turn the app on, when you get in the car, when you get out.
Okay, so here's what happened.
So you don't get charged, you know what I mean? Like, say...
Right.
Say you
I mean, it was equidistant. I'm working where we were when I noticed she was going the wrong way.
Right.
I said, oh, my God, you're going to my house. I need to go to work. It wouldn't have been any extra gas.
What did she say?
She didn't say much.
Did she take you here, though?
No, she took me to... Listen to how ridiculous this is. She took me to my house. So I go and I sit on the porch. I type in Uber to get to work, and it was her. So she went around the block. She went around the block and came and back and picked me up. It was ludicrous.
That's somebody who's it doesn't get it.
Well, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to get her in trouble.
You won't, but the bottom line is you just basically say, hey, you know, I got to go here. And here's the thing. You can actually go into your app and change it if you need to. If it's one of these people, nope. The app says you're going here, you're going here. But they make mistakes. But you could have went into your own app and changed the address and said, hey, look.
Good to know. But you're going to give me a ride home, right?
Yeah.
Back to the car shop.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, we can bond on that. Bob, I'm thinking about becoming an Uber driver on the weekends, just in the South Hills and just to the airport and back, wherever you live, people live. Is that a good idea?
Why would you? What makes you want to do this?
Golf money. And general money.
You're not spending enough time away from Susie. You have to now go and do this.
She wants me to spend more time away from her. Yes.
Oh.
And plus my daughter, you know, she's basically a grown up now. So she's with her friends doing sport, doing whatever.
So you're spending even less time with your wife because you have to now facilitate the money you're spending on golf, which takes you away.
Could she come with me on Uber drives? Are you allowed to bring your spouse, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, why not? But
I think I will do this, Bob. I can make like $400 on the weekends.
Okay.
That's a lot of golf money.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign up and be an Uber driver.
I may be your first test. I never use it, but I may just and can I put in a specific driver? Can I put in for you, or does it?
Paul, can you request a specific Uber driver? Or is that against the rules?
I think you can, yes. And I think
I just want to go to the store, Joe.
The other thing you can do, if you get an Uber driver who really understands how to make money, like really make money by building a client base, they give you their card with their number on it. Like their cell phone number.
Are they allowed to do that, or is that skirting the rules?
No, you call them and they come to your house and you actually get in the car. So when you turn on the app, who's the first Uber that's ready that's there? And you can get them and go.
All right, all good to know. Listen.
Listen, I'll tell you all the tricks of the trade. Trust me.
All right. I'll be hitting you up for that. 93.7.
He's afraid of worms, though, Paul. How do you know who you're picking up, though? You might find someone who has worms in his suitcase.
Believe me, I've thought of that already, too.
Worms in their suitcase.
Can I give you an alternative, Joe?
Yeah.
Do Uber Eats. You don't have to worry about weird people getting
in. I don't want to get involved with the food and the stuff. I see at the ice cream place in Mount Lebanon, the Uber Eats people come in and they're taking milkshakes to people and stuff like that. I don't want to get involved with food. I hear you, though.
You'd rather have people in your car?
Well, you still have to confront the people at their house, right?
Yeah, you just leave it on their porch nowadays.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Bob, is that true?
I don't do it, so
Paul,
I don't know.
Do you do Uber Eats?
No,
I think that's Uber Eats wasting money to me. I mean, I'm going to go and get it if I want to get it. I don't need anyone to bring it to me and pay some ridiculous fee.
I'll tell you, the last time I did Uber Eats was long ago. And I had my kids, so I said, yeah, we'll just do the Uber Eats thing, right? I want to say the delivery for it was like, say it was like a $70 order for food. It like cost me like $120.
Yeah.
When you add up all the delivery and all that.
That's what I mean.
I was like, what the hell is this? Tell this guy to take it back. I'll drive to the restaurant and get it myself.
Speaking of that, I was hungry when I came. I'm not even hungry anymore because of the worms in the sink. I never want to eat again either. The Fan, 101 FM.
I think we should get pizza.
And so do I. Bob's Treat. AM 1020 KDK.
I'm bringing anchovies and throw a little worm or two on there. You won't know the difference.
I'll buy it as long as it's from the place right down the street we always get it from.
All right, let's do that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. I can't believe that this has happened. I truly can't. Since the night they ran the graphic on TV during the game that the Pirates hadn't had a three-game losing streak in all this time, like decades it felt like, they've collapsed. It's officially, can we agree it's officially a collapse?
Oh, it's a collapse.
Nine of ten, and now they're one of the worst four teams in the National League.
They all came against teams they're trying to pursue and catch. And this is your opportunity. You want head-to-head games that are meaningful to try to, reduce the deficit. These are them, and they got ambushed.
Yeah, I mean,
Ron.
Not to spoil my Mackey planner, but the thing I'll tell you is, the column that I'm writing about, when we look back on this season, what will be the Jerry Meals moment? Do you remember the year when Jerry Meals? Do you remember the year, Joe, when Jerry Meals? Basically, the Pirates were rolling.
Yeah.
And then, so we can all point to that, the Jerry Meals moment and say,
yeah,
from that point on, it was all downhill.
Great topic. When did it go downhill here?
So,
what game?
So my point is, that's what I'm, my Mackey Planner, that's what I'm writing my column about. And I'll give you a couple of the options, and you tell me which one do you think we will look back on and say, that one.
Thank you for asking. It was the O'Neill Cruz meltdown game in Houston. In Houston with a chance to sweep.
But
the way it happened, how it happened, and who it happened to was very symbolic of the demise of these Pirates.
Okay. How about then the very next night, the Josh Bell moment off of Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah. To me, that was a that was crushing. But it was more about the other guys.
Well,
than the
and
Pirates.
My thing with that was a game that they were down 5-0 and came all the way back, and it looked like they were going to win.
Yeah,
I'll give you a funny side to that is I was down at the casino, because I had to go to that game, right? So they were down 5-0. I said, you know what, I have to be there for the post game. But I'm going to just sit here and have a drink or two and watch some of the game. So they got down 5-0. You know, it was down 5-0. And I got to like the third inning. I was like, you know what? I think they're going to come back and win this game. I ran over and I bet them $25 to win $300. They come all the way back. I'm like, I'm walking across to, you know, PNC Park. And I'm like, I'm going to win.
That was the night McCutchen dove into home. Remember that?
Yes. Yep. That was the play where when he dove into home, I was like, I'm winning this.
Yeah. And then Chapman's throwing 105. And then it looked like they would.
Then I left and went over and got in there just about the time that Josh Bell was coming to the plate. And he hit one a mile and a half.
And that only tied it.
Well, it did. But that, to me, as soon as he hit that, I said, they're losing. That's it. They're losing.
I think those kinds of losses do take a toll on a team. You may not look at it directly and see it.
How about
but here's, it's a demoralizing situation.
And I'm
going to
give you one more option because I think this might be it. Because I think because they recovered from that, you know, the O'Neill Cruz and the Josh Bell, then they won a game. They came back and won. The next night, however, how about the Jock Peterson 3-run homer over Holderman? That, to me, is the one that I'm picking. I think the
That was a killer game. There's no question.
They haven't won since then.
I know. I just felt like it all started to fall apart with O'Neill Cruz running into left field. You could also argue it was even the Skeens game where goes out for the ninth inning to chance of MVP, and they blew that game.
They blew that game too, right?
Let's go to the calls. We have a bunch of them. Sean?
All right, we're going to go JD in the North Hills.
What's up, JD?
Guys, I got to tell you, I think the low point of the season came yesterday with Ben Auer. I mean, come on, this guy's supposed to be our closer. I mean, he's
with
blown
who?
How many games, like you said, Ben Auer. Blown up Ben Auer, as they say. Heller. That should be his new nickname, Blown Up Ben Auer, because he's been blowing up Bednar. Yeah, I mean, he's blowing up like crazy. And
yeah,
I'm sorry. Right now, they did nothing at the trade deadline that was worth watching. I mean, they got some scab players. You trade one of your minor leaguers in Priester. Yes, I'd say Charrington and Huntington, or Shelton, give them another year. If they don't turn it around, then you farm. This time next year, you could see the paperwork. Right now, they've got to have a busy winter, and if they don't, it's going to be the same old same.
Well, I would say this, declaration from ownership, if we don't get in the playoffs next year, everything changes.
Appreciate the call. I don't blame him for any of his thoughts there. Next. Mm-mm.
But yesterday is not a low. That's a game they should have won, sure. Came back would have been nice. But those other things we mentioned were far more harmful to them than this game yesterday.
I know, but it's also subjective.
But you've already lost eight out of nine.
If Paul's story, you know, about the beginning of the fall, yesterday may have been the final dagger.
Yeah.
Well, they're not done with this road trip yet.
You know, it's semi-exciting when they go ahead in the 10th inning. McCutchen's hitting two-run bombs in the same game dramatically. And they still blow the game.
Yeah.
They still blow the game, Bob. Mm-hmm. Next. Sorry, Paul.
No, I was going
to
say.
We're going to go to Rich and Carmichael's.
Go ahead, Rich. Talk to Paul.
Paul, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, my friend, I enjoy your show. I enjoy Bob, but you made a comment, Paul. You said, you know, all the tricks of the trade, but I want to say to you, you talked about the Pirates 4 years ago. They didn't have anything, and you can't blame Chelsea for that. Well, I disagree. Those 4 years with no players should have made you a better manager for this year, period. The thing is, I went to that game, and for the longest time, he had players playing. You don't know who was playing. Every night they played, they had different lineups. That's not a good manager. And the other thing is, I seen that game last Sunday. I went down there with my daughter against Arizona. And after that game, that manager, you talk about a good manager, he makes the comment, well, Paul was all over the place. And with another comment he made, well, he only gave up one or two runs, period, when he came out in that sixth inning. Well, that's not a good manager, throwing somebody under the bus. They ought to throw him under the bus, the manager. He's not a good manager. He didn't manage that many games, period, before he came to Pittsburgh. And you call, he should have used those 4 years ago as a learning experience, and it should have made him a better manager. He's not a good manager, period. I know the players, and they didn't do very good anyway. The problem is, he's not a good manager.
Thank you for the
and
call.
I enjoy you guys. I enjoy the show. But keep giving me updates on my man from the 49ers. That's all I have to say. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
As he fades away.
Paul?
I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with some of what he had to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would argue with a lot of what Shelton, some of his, I should say, some of his decision-making. The game, the Jock Peterson game, was ridiculous. But like my argument with Pony last night, Bob, I honestly feel of all the sports, a manager has less to do with a baseball team winning or losing, and by far.
I would agree with that. There are a lot of decisions that need to be made, but mostly it comes down to the players and how they're playing. And you could put him in the right spots. You could put him in bad spots. And that's not to say he hasn't put in some of the, he hasn't made decisions that are in the best interest, as it turns out. And things I would have, they're not second guess. You can sit there and say, why are you letting Holderman, in that specific thing with Jock Peterson?
Right.
Holderman did not pitch well for a long, for several outings before then.
And
he's
Pony
in a high leverage situation.
Pony brought up Clint Hurdle. Like none of us had problems with Clint Hurdle's managing.
Right.
Right. I mean, the Sunday lineups, everything else that went on here. Especially by the end,
but,
you know.
Some of the stuff, though, that we criticize, it's kind of a baseball thing to do, isn't it? Sunday lineups, all the games
bunting,
they play with innings.
But I will say this about bunting. Every other team they play does bunting very well.
Right. If you can execute bunting, that's fine. My point is, the way the game is played nowadays, Sunday lineups, all the games they play with innings for their pitchers, all of the different goofy things they do, all of these analytic things like, well, we should never bunt, that kind of stuff. I don't necessarily blame Shelton.
All right, let me
because that's the way baseball's being played. And you know what? If you got rid of Shelton, they'd hire another guy
who's going to
be in love with the analytic stuff.
And here's the thing yesterday, though. Bednar had to pitch a second inning, which he never does. He got up into the 40s in pitch count because he was – but he's struggled of late. The one guy who hasn't struggled of late is Chapman. Chapman pitches the eighth inning, and I think he only had 10 pitches. Why can't he then come out to start the ninth inning? 10 pitches, he's been effective.
I've said
instead they go to Bednar, and he gives up the lead. Then they have, you know.
For at least a week, they should flip-flop Bednar and Chapman. That Chapman should be the closer because. And people say, well, what difference does it make? Because that means Bednar will just screw up the eighth. Well, but the thing is, if Bednar gets in a little trouble in the eighth, now you can go to Chapman to clean it up, as opposed to you've already used Chapman.
Ideally,
now Bednar comes in and doesn't do a good job. You can't go.
And
you,
they
you
had no one else to go to.
Ideally, yes,
point.
But Shelton said he won't go to Chapman for two innings, or he won't let him sit down and come back out for another inning. I agree with you.
Pitches.
That's what I asked Shelton himself. And right after that, he did it, by the way. He did bring in Chapman for a two-inning appearance. But at some point, You want to go comparing this to the 2013 Pirates. Here's what Clint Hurdle did when he went to his bullpen. Tapped his arm and said, Watson, Grilly, Melanson, and they all came in and shut people down the whole year. Yeah. This guy is saying, Bednar? I hope. Holderman, I hope. I mean, these guys are letting him down more than he's letting them down.
What are you supposed to do if you're him, though? Who do you go to in those situations?
That's my point.
You have somebody to go to, and these are the guys you count on, and they're not getting it done.
Has he screwed up some games? Yes, he has. Has he helped them win some games with decisions? I would argue, yes, he has. Give him a better team is what I would say. Like, we're actually going to sit here and argue about Shelty's lineups from earlier this season? Why doesn't he ever go with the same set lineup? We got that call a couple times. Because he doesn't have a set lineup because his hitters stink. That's why.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's all bad. It's all bad news. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I'm just saying. I just feel like it's partly a situation of where
Grizzly Adams is on you again, Paul.
Why? What did
the guy who? What was the original problem with him?
I have no idea.
You told him to go to the bathroom and never come
what
back.
What is he upset about?
He said, "Can we get a bigger on button on Paul's microphone?"
Well, that's pretty funny. I can live with that. That's okay. I screw it up.
He's become a fan, Grizzly Adams.
No. I'm just saying. I can appreciate that. That's funny because I do screw that up every day. My thing with that whole Shelton, there are some things you can do differently if you're not beholden to all of these ridiculous numbers and analytics. And I'll give you a great example, okay? When the other day, remember in the ninth inning when when Grandal came up and you have Joey Bart sitting on the bench.
Yes.
And his explanation was, well, Joey Bart is 0-for-3 against whoever the pitcher was.
Right. That's
if it's
only 0
for,
three
if it's if it's 2-for-40, okay, fine. It's 0-for-3.
Yeah.
And my thing with that is that's a guy who looks at the charts and looks at all of the numbers and looks at all and scours it over. And that's great that he knows all those things. But you know what? My biggest problem with analytics and analytic people, right? The people that are, is that human beings play these games, not robots, human beings. And the bottom line is Joey Bart's been swinging the bat really, really well. Grandal is useless. So I'm sorry. In that situation, 0-3 be damned. Use Joey Bart, but that's not how he does things.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's been legitimate cause for criticism frequently.
I'm not saying that's why they lost the game. I'm saying I can point to a lot of those times like that where I think the manager is a prisoner of, like, I don't want to just, because analytics has become a word that just covers everything that, you know what I mean? But he's become a prisoner of sort of the new way to play baseball, and he never wants to deviate out from it, underneath it, which I think times you have to.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, I wanted to give you some good news with the Steelers, and there is some, but there's also some bad news, both in the AFC North and with the Steelers themselves. And we'll talk about that next, maybe some winners and losers from the preseason opener, all of that. Fan weather. Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Sunny and pleasant with a high of 80. And of course, where are we with the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes? We're going to touch on that. Bob has a showdown at high noon. Paul against me against Paul, Paul against Bob, Bob against Paul, Bob against me against Bob, and all of us
since
against
Bob
Sean.
Bob is here, can I make a request at some point in the show?
Yes.
We talk about the Olympic basketball teams.
Yeah, why don't we, Bob? Why don't you lead your showdown with that? Thank you.
We could do that.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
We will.
We could do a lot of.
We have to go.
We
have to go.
I'm amused at the fact that there are people who actually are criticizing them for winning two gold medals. But anyway, go ahead.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.